Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
And Andy?
Yes, Alistair? Yes? Hello?
Do you know how sometimes we have sponsorship on this program? Well, today we are sponsored...
We're a show, and by the way, they're clamoring to sponsor our show. So when we don't have sponsorship, it's because of our artistic integrity.
That's right.
And not because nobody's approached us.
That's right. And today we're being sponsored by Magma. It's these hot young sketch guys who are performing an engineering presentation. It's us. Mm-hmm. And it's available at sospresents.com.
You know what Gandhi said? He said, be the podcast sponsor you want to see in the world.
Exactly.
And that's what we decided to do.
And
we sponsored ourselves.
And he also said, a podcast sponsor for a podcast sponsor, and the whole world, his ears are filled with podcast sponsorships.
You know what? And he was right. He wasn't wrong. The Mahatma.
No, that's right. And that takes us right into the song.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I have been, thus far, Andy Matthews, and I intend to continue to be so.
And I, for the intervening minute, will be Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
Long may this state of affairs reign.
Yes, that's right.
The two-ness of you and I and the respective beings lining up with our souls and our entities. And I don't see any reason to change what has up until this point been a very, very functional system.
That's right.
Alistair, before we started recording, you made a comment that I thought was humorous and worth bringing up on pod and preserving forever in indelible digital, and that was we were referring to getting the pleasantries out of the way and getting on with the unpleasantries. And that's what I like, because what it implies is that, you know, saying hello and how are you is the only pleasant thing that there is, and all other parts of the human experience are suffering.
Well, it's shorter, and you know what to say, you know, and then the rest.
You're right. There's a script. We've been given a script for that, and then the rest you're on your own. You're doing improv,
that's right,
which is one of the most awful things that a person can be subjected to.
But it's fun to do sometimes.
You know what I'm looking forward to with COVID? I'm looking forward to death being so commonplace, so frequent that it becomes a feature of our daily lives as much as saying hello or goodbye. And and it'll become incorporated, it'll be just become part of small talk. And then there won't be that awkwardness around death, that oh, what do I say when somebody dies? You will know what you say. When somebody's loved one dies, you say, whoops-a-daisy, down he goes. And that's just and it's dealt with, it's done.
It's done, you know? Yes.
None of this macabre, grim, mourning, woe, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another thing that just rolls off the tongue. I was at a funeral relatively recently, and like your all the things that the ways you've been trained to talk to people, just to communicate, you know, things like it's great to see you and that sort of thing. You have to. Like, I found myself saying those things, you know, just because that's, it was lovely to see you, that sort of thing. Because that's what you say to people when you see them. But when you see them At a funeral, you can't say that. You've been betrayed by the system that created you, the system of small talkery.
You're right.
You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely. Because yeah. normally you walk up to me, you say, hey, big dick dog, you son of a bitch. Right? Glad to see you and all your relatives alive.
Yes.
You know?
And it's not far
and
off.
So,
and then in the context of a funeral, especially a funeral where you've just had your dick chewed off by a dog.
Oh yeah.
It you know.
So is that you're having
it's
a funeral
for your
dick. Oh my god. Look, I'm writing that down as a sketch idea. So a guy had his dick chewed off by a dog. And then it's all the friends getting together at the funeral for his dick.
Mm. Mm. Okay. But then I think we do need a moment where somehow...
Somebody puts their mouth in it. Their foot, I mean, I really put my foot in it. I mean, I put my mouth around it. Oh, no.
I put your foot in my mouth.
I mean, I put your penis in my mouth. Oh, my God.
What I want to see is the penis sort of in a zombie-type situation, you know, thrusting up through the earth like a fist of an undead, you know, individual. So the penis has sort of somehow become erect.
I like
burst out.
I like the idea that it's like as in this might have been what you were saying, but you're 90 minutes into the funeral, right?
Mm.
And it bursts out of the coffin.
Yes.
I don't know if it's an open coffin. I don't know if you have an open coffin for a penis funeral.
Well, it's another one of those ones where the conventions haven't been established.
Yeah, but it comes out and it realizes it was all a trick. By the penis to see what people would say.
So it faked its own death?
I guess so. The dog was in on
tricky.
It.
It's tricky. Oh, so it has actually been ripped off.
Well, we're not sure. And these details maybe are a bit too complicated to figure out.
I mean, right this could happen. This could happen that somebody never actually had their dick ripped off. They faked their dick being ripped off to find out so they could honestly hear what people really did at the funeral. Because you never know, do you, in life?
No.
Everyone's very polite when they see it, you know? I know whenever I've seen yours, I've said something very polite. Like, good stuff.
Oh, goodness me. Oh. Oh, what a delight.
How remarkable.
Yeah. But actually, the dick is just up in the attic, looking down and listening.
No, I think they still have their dick on.
Okay, they still have their dick on.
They still have their dick on.
Okay, right.
Which is that's part of the comedy of this, that somebody would just lie to everyone. Yeah.
But I think if he tries to pass it off as the actions of the dick, I mean,
you're right.
You know, if he's wild enough to put on a funeral for his own penis, then he's wild enough to try to blame it on the penis. It has a mind of its own.
I think this could be a stand-up bit, Alistair, that you based around the fact that you never really know what anybody honestly thinks of your genitalia. And that's why I've been thinking of faking its death.
And then showing up at its
funeral. And then at the funeral. Exposing it.
Exposing it. Oh.
Dropping my pants at the funeral for my penis.
Or maybe maybe I guess a person who lost the penis is supposed to not be there. Because, I mean, it'd be... Look, I do like the idea of that moment after the funeral where everybody walks by and shakes your hand and says something kind. We're all going to miss it.
I think I realize it doesn't make sense that they're there because you wouldn't think people would people still wouldn't talk honestly because they're there. Is that what you're concerned about?
Well, you know, no. I'm just I imagine if he was there, that he would fear that people wouldn't be speaking honestly. But I guess you know he's not 100% sane of mind.
Hasn't totally thought through everything through in you know, the necessary level of detail. Anyway, that's very good. Could very well be the best thing we've ever come up
well,
with.
Well, we did get to talk about penises a whole
bunch. I would like to apologize for all of it.
Yeah, it's season two, baby, we're not only we come up with stuff that may be of lesser quality, we say that it's way better than everything else we've come up with.
That's right. We gaslight you about all the old stuff.
Yeah.
We talk that down. We spend a lot of energy on that.
Mm-hmm. Andy, do you think that have we discussed this, but that Tuna Think Tank should be a franchise that continues after we retire?
I don't know that we have, Alistair, but I'm really open to it, and I'm willing to be part of the reality TV show where we audition people to take our place.
Oh, see, that's an idea, Andy. What if, I mean, you could do that, let's say, if we were just taking a month off. We wanted to take a month off, so it's just, we're not going to do four episodes, right? And instead of just pre-recording four episodes, right?
Yes.
Which would be time-consuming, you know, before that month comes. We run a full reality TV show that we film and stuff to get two new hosts with the right chemistry, two new hosts with the right look. And two new hosts with the right ethnicity.
That's going to be the hardest thing of all.
So anyway, that's not a sketch idea, but that's silly. And I definitely think we should do it at some point. And we need to expand this puppy.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, Alistair. This is... I like the idea of challenges of some sort. I don't know whether or not they have to make an outfit. I think probably they do. Because what a lot of the listeners don't realise is that before each episode, Alistair and I craft an outfit from scratch.
That's right.
And that's why sometimes the episodes themselves go up a bit late or seem unprepared. We put a lot of the time into the dressage component.
That's right. Yeah.
Of
speaking of dressage, do you think any other animals should be doing sort of dancing for our own entertainment?
You know what? As soon as I said the word dressage, I was like, I was picturing a tortoise. Being dressed.
A tortoise?
And ridden.
But there's that kind of
by a little jockey.
Yeah, there's that kind of dance thing they do, that sort of cross-legged dance.
Yeah, I don't know that a tortoise could pull that off, but it might be able to do a little backspin on its shell or something. I'm pretty sure I've seen that.
Andy,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't think a horse could do that, and yet they do. It seems impossible that you should be able to tell a horse where to put its feet.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know how you begin to teach a horse some shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, what do? You wait for it to do it by accident, or you just electrocute it until in desperation it does that. Then you're like, yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay.
So wait, is the idea that you wait for them to move their feet like that by accident and then really praise them?
Yeah.
Oh, good horse. Ah, oh, great horse. Ah, oh, here's a roast beef. Ah. Oh. Oh, great.
Roast beef. Yeah. Roast beef.
Roast beef. Ah, good horse.
We electrocute them until they do something we want, and then we give them roast beef. And it's that's how you teach a horse.
It's the only way
to
teach a horse.
It's the electrical outlet and the beef approach, not the carrot and the stick, which works for donkeys, but when it's a horse, it's a totally different thing.
It's roast beef on a rock.
I think the as much as the breeding of the large, powerful horses, a key component of horse racing and so on is the breeding of the small, lightweight jockeys. And I think
sure
that, you know, it you But I'm wondering, you know, if the breeding of the small jockeys, if we should focus more on that and try and get smaller and smaller jockeys so that they could be riding on almost any animal at all.
Well, that's true, yeah. You know?
A hamster.
But it would also allow for the horse to be able to keep their feet off the ground for longer.
Well, I mean, really what you want is you want to breed a jockey who...
is negative weight.
Is enormous and... Yeah, exactly. And filled with helium. We've been thinking about this all
That's
wrong.
That's right. Alistair, you know that...
We've been thinking of small, dense jockeys. Well, you know, but what we want is enormous jockeys, a very low density.
That's right. Well, you know, remember that terrible technique that old jazz musicians used to have that would lead to their cheeks inflating a shitload? And
is that bad technique?
I think these days the idea is that you wouldn't have your neck inflate and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, apparently. But we teach these jockeys that technique. So that, and then we fill their cheeks up with helium.
And not just their cheeks.
Not just their cheeks. I think there should be a place in between all the layers of skin, all over the body, where you could just, you know, just hide a little helium.
Well, this happened to my friend Sam at high school. He was a bagpipe player. And he one day got hit in the face with a tennis racket, and then he went and did some bagpipe playing. And he inflated his face. There was some rupture somewhere in some skin membrane inside his cheek, and that allowed air the amount of pressure they put on when they're blowing into those bags, and he. His whole side of his face and bits of his neck got filled with air and inflated, and he had to go to the hospital. But this is perfect, Alistair. You know, I'm sure there are membranes and such like that all over the body, and you know, we could absolutely get a jockey. You know, especially if you get somebody who's had a lot of radical weight loss and they've got all that loose skin.
Yes,
and then you inflate them like a Macy's parade balloon.
Yeah.
Have them, and then they cling on to the
hold onto the reins.
Cling on to the reins, dragging the horse is just up. Running along on its hind legs.
Well, that's how you get the horse to do all sorts of crazy stuff, because suddenly you just.
Well, I'm thinking of it as a race. To me, it's a race.
Oh, well,
that's why we want such a lightweight.
For me, I see the guy just spinning the horse around and around.
I think the inflatable jockey, either dressage or definitely more likely horse racing. You know, there's every chance I'd be interested in horse racing if this was what it was.
I understand, Andy, but I don't think that not having grip on the ground is good for getting speed as a horse. You were thinking of a Pegasus.
But I still think there's value to this for horse racing. You want your jockey to be lightweight, you know.
Yeah.
You want your horse to be light, and there's got to be a sweet spot.
Yeah, you're right. And look,
thank you.
Everything on our body is the result of evolution, right? Including
correct.
If you pierce your cheek and play the bagpipes, that your body it turns out that your body it makes your body inflatable.
That evolution didn't put that there by accident.
No, that's right. And it's just it's up to
put
us
there for a reason.
It's up to us to find why we survive better with that. And it's, I think, because of this it's because of this inflating thing.
It's scary to think that one day we will run out of helium on Earth. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's really scary. I'm scared.
What will we miss? You know, we don't realize that we're living at probably peak helium right now. And the balloon, have we talked about this in the podcast before? The balloon animals, etc., of today
will lay limp.
Will they will lie limp, and the children of tomorrow will look back on this time aghast at the ways in which we fritted away the helium.
I think a lot of clowns have adapted to this by none of them inflating their balloon animals with helium.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. They probably never did. I don't know.
So I guess Scooby-Doo-Dah.
I guess that's okay.
My daisies or whatever to that. That's, is that what you said? The condolences?
Down he goes. Oopsie daisy, down he goes.
All right.
I mean, if you were to, I'm just thinking, you know, forms of art, and I'm thinking of all the schools of painting.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering quickly if we can come up with one right now, because you know, obviously, well, you've got your.
It's funny that you're asking
your cubism, your pointillism, your impressionism.
Well, it's funny that you were asking that, because I was just thinking about whether or not there was other ways of, you know, turning stuff that is not an animal into something that looks like an animal. For kids' parties or whatever, you know, once balloons are done, you know, I guess they're already bad. Today, I did just scrunch some paper for my son.
Yeah.
Like, and because he was like, I had made him a paper airplane, and he said, make it into another paper airplane. And I unfolded it, and then it folded into a different kind of airplane. He said, make it into another. I said, I don't know how to do it. I only know two airplanes. Right. And then he goes, well, can you make it into something else? Like an animal? And so I just started crumpling it in front of him. And this was a joyful thing. It wasn't anger. I mean, you know, at least not on the outside.
It wasn't a threat.
No.
You see what I can do to this paper?
But you can just crumple it and then kind of shape the crumple into something that looks like, you know, I guess an impression of a bear or something like that.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I think what you're describing is bad origami.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it is bad. It's definitely bad origami, especially if you were going to call it origami.
Okay. I've done you a disservice there by putting it in the school of origami. It's not bad origami. It's good, its own thing.
Yeah, but I mean, there's got to be...
its own different thing.
I mean, you know, there's got to be other things that you can turn into animals. Essentially, a balloon's just a bit of garbage rubber.
It's a medium as much as anything else. Let's see, string, liquid, water, ice.
Maybe you could
ice sculpture. That's already a
maybe
thing.
Maybe you could tie the kids' clothes into something like into the shape of a giraffe or something. But I guess then that involves an entertainer coming and taking the kids' clothes off, and that feels like it's not a good idea. Hair? Maybe you could do it with hair.
Is it? I mean, I'm just picturing now doing a balloon animal artistry, but with sausages, you know, because they're basically the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think you can get this guy, and he's brilliant, and he comes to your house, and instead of filling up the balloons by blowing into them, he has a meat grinder there, and he fills up a section of an intestine.
Oh, that's nice.
And he...
And he twists it.
Twists it and turns it, and he can turn it into anything, into a giraffe, into a gun.
And he's got
and then the kids can run over to the
then he's got a deep
barbecue
fryer.
And give it to Dad. Deep fry it, sure. Oh, this actually sounds kind of like fun. Like this would be a thing at a fair.
Yeah.
If this could be done, it would already have been done, sure.
No, Andy.
Surely this hasn't been overlooked.
You're silly in thinking that. Because you're right. It is. You're just replacing the air with ground up meat and meat substitutes.
Mm. Meat substitutes, sure.
Oh, I mean, sausage animals. Andy, it's so...
Sausage animals. It's imagine
so
animals, right? But they're made out of meat. That's the...
I mean...
That's the beauty of it.
And
then you can also, yes, wear it on your head or whatever it is.
That's right.
That
the great ones would be those big swords that kids love. You know, you're going to make them a sword with a big...
A pork sword?
Well, that's what it can be. It could be a pork sword, but it can also be a chicken sword, and it could be a beef sword. And they make veggie sausages these days, and it can be a veggie sword.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Veggie sort, sure. You know, this is a clown, but he's sort of a little bit butcher-like as well.
Clowns often wear those white overalls.
Big,
you know, those
blood-stained overalls.
Well, you know, you already know about the clown doctors. A clown butcher is not that far away.
Not that far away. Yeah.
I mean, they're it's two ends of the lifeline. You know.
Mm.
The doctor now, is just the butcher before you're dead. It's a positive butcher. It's a butcher.
You're right.
It's a butcher with a it's just like he's got a little something.
He's the butcher of light. He's the butcher
he
of
kills kills death.
He's God's butcher. I think that's interesting. I don't know if you want to explore
that. I think I was just
going to
say
depth.
That. Look. A butcher and a doctor are the same thing, right? It's just that they help you move further away from the death part, right? So you're the life death line, right? So the doctor moves you out further towards life, and the butcher moves you further away towards even further death by sort of partaking in sort of decapitation, making sure that it cannot be reversed.
Yeah, you're right. It's progress of a kind. What is it? It's sealing the deal, isn't it? It's like
absolutely.
It's locking it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you need that to help. You know, so you need something to take it out of your hands. If it was up to me, as a corpse, I'd probably want to sort of just try and become alive again. You know,
exactly.
I don't know how much power corpses have of those sort of things, but I'd probably always be thinking about it, if indeed I could think. I'd be like, oh, I should try and become alive again. No, bring the butcher in, grind me up, turn me into patties or something.
Turn me into a sort of a sausage animal.
A sausage animal? I don't even –
I mean, the thing is
okay,
that –
let's combine a few things.
Yeah, they can
– this is a funeral where they grind up the deceased – and turn them into sausage animals and give them
but they could just turn
all
them
the waters.
Make them in the shape of them. Take the body, make a mold, right? Make a mold. Line that mold with sort of fake intestine skin thing, right?
Yeah, okay.
Then grind the person up. You got to add the stuff that you add in there. Add your rosemary. Add some red wine. Right?
Sure.
Add a few things. Add some meat enhancer, whatever they put in there. Right? A little bit of fat, so just, you know, it cooks nice. Right?
Now,
and then you reverse vacuum seal that. I mean, like, you plump that in. It'll fill up the whole area, right? Deep fry it or whatever, however they're going to do that. Like, you know, you have one of those morgue doors, but it's just an oven. You know, it's like one you slide the body in and out of, but it's an oven. And you cook the thing in there?
Alistair, look, I love it. You know, I have a slight twist on it. I realize it compromises.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
The cannibalism element. I'm going to compromise on the cannibalism element. What it is you go along to a funeral, and as the body is fed into the cremation, whatever, there's a 3D scanner there which scans the body, right? Its shape, everything. Right, and then it makes, prints out tiny little molds, which are like, you know, perfect replica, but just like, you know, a 1-10 scale model. Okay, and then fills those with beef or some sort of beef substitute, and then, you know, sprays them or whatever, a ghoulish color. And then, you know, as you leave the funeral, you're already handed your, you know, corpse sausage, your little sausage version of the deceased
nice.
That you can then fry and
eat. Like a lamb Kafka or whatever, Kafta.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, this is good because, again, it's just another way of processing things. We all process grief mm-hmm. in different ways, and some of us process it using the digestive system.
Right, yeah.
you know, it could be a cultural thing that is like, you know, it harks back to our days as cannibals. I'm sure every major human population has cannibalism somewhere in its
past. I think it's just a how well you're doing kind of thing. Mm. Like, I mean, it's like if you're doing really poorly, then eventually you turn to it, and then if you like it, mm-hmm. then you keep it during the good times.
Yeah. But then also some people who are, you know, like anything that's mostly, you know, a lot of these cultural ideas come from, you know, poor people mm-hmm. who are forced to be creative,
yeah.
like by eating their loved ones. But then that gets commodified and turned into this kind of luxury experience via cultural appropriation, where the very, very rich also love to be cannibals,
yes.
as we know from looking at Mark Zuckerberg.
As we can safely assume
on the internet that he eats corpses.
Absolutely.
And now what I'm trying to do is now democratize it again by turning it back into a more of a kind of a fast food type experience that can be appreciated on a mass scale.
Indeed.
You know?
If
I want to be the McDonald's of cannibalism.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. I think you can disrupt the cannibalism market.
Thank you.
I mean, I feel like that. You know, if somebody could do it, it's got to be a startup that comes in and makes that somehow it subverts the cannibalism laws.
That's sort of what Uber did, right? Like they were like, well, this is illegal everywhere. But if we just start doing it, it'll be so convenient.
Well, you know what it is?
That they'll just change the law.
You know what the idea is? It's basically, it's a cannibalism startup that allows you to sell off little bits of meat off of your body while you're still alive.
Mm, yes. Of course, because that's an asset
yeah.
that you have just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know?
And well, suddenly if you're going to tell people that they can't have this money that they need to live.
Yep, yep. That's your nest egg.
It becomes,
you know,
and it becomes less hard to, you know, like more difficult to justify banning something like this when you're sick of stimulus. Like, you know, you're a government who's already racked up a lot of debt, and you don't want to have to put any more stimulus into the economy.
Absolutely.
And you just want people to just have access to money that they didn't have access to before. And well, why not be able to, you know, sort of sell a calf steak? That's a calf muscle, not a small cow.
And it'd be done by surgeons or whatever. You know, you can post up photos of different bits of your body, and they can be bitted off.
Oh, of course. I mean, there'll be a really quick process that, like, somebody
cannibals all over the world.
Somebody will come in a van to your house, and then basically you will have already picked the body part, and they just have a clamp that they put onto that body part. It slices off, seals it up real quick, puts an artificial skin over it, and, you know, numbs it. They give you your, you know, like a bag of, you know, it's like probably like just an inhaler that has like 3 weeks worth of painkillers. And
yep.
And then you're fine. Then they're off. And then you've got your...
It's another thing that, like, has been the government... The heavy-handed police state has come down with and thought that they can control this market with laws and with regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But really what it needs is the forces of capitalism. Just open it up and the market will solve this problem for you. You know, we don't ban it. We put a price on it and we let, you know, and then you can tax that and you can have that. Yeah, absolutely, as a source of
value. Exactly. And as long as people aren't getting high or, you know, doing whatever.
Exactly. Weird sex stuff with it, which I don't think we...
And people with less limbs are not out in the streets marching.
Yeah, great.
And think how cool, like, having missing body parts will become. I mean, it's already pretty cool, but think about how stylistically people can do it once it becomes, you know, much more common. And it's going to be like a, it's going to be kind of like a badge of honor of like, hey man, I've lived, you know, I'm like, I have that street cred.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and, you know, it's all very well to give up a pinky toe or something like that. But, you know, if you drop a thumb, that's a real sort of power move.
And imagine walking down the street with a friend and being like, and seeing a guy limping along and being, and saying to your friend, you go, oh, I ate some of that guy the other day. He's so good. You got to try him. Go see if he's got anything left. If he's got, you know, you got to eat that guy.
Make an offer. Yeah. Make an offer.
He's not cheap, though. He's not cheap. Tell you what.
He knows what he's worth.
Yeah. Do you think if you slice off a full ass cheek, you could get the...
Yeah, I feel like this is one of your favorite topics of conversation.
Do you think if you got a slice off a full ass cheek, do you think you could get one to grow back so that you could get another one, sell that one again?
I don't think so. I mean, I realize that if all the parts of the body that feel like they could grow back, the ass cheek does definitely feel like you could get a pretty close one. But I don't know. Does the ass cheek? Are there muscles in there? Do you need that?
Yeah. That's how you sort of, you're like you know you lift up your ass.
Yeah.
You know you lift it up and all how you butt scoot. I think butt scooting's all that.
Boot scoot. Yeah. And clenching. Not boot scoot. Clenching,
butt
right?
Scoot.
Butt scoot. Sorry.
I mean it's also
booty
abs,
scoot.
Eh? A booty scoop.
Booty scoop?
No, not a booty scoop. look.
The booty scoop would be a sort of a sharpened melon baller for scooping out a butt cheek. I don't know.
Sure. No, I just wanted to... Two scoops of raisins in Kellogg's Raisin Bran. What I thought of. All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ideas. I mean, you wouldn't consider them all ideas, but so I was thinking.
I'll take it, Alistair.
I was thinking that maybe we should go to 3 words from a listener.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I feel like, you know, there's been a lot of cannibalism in this episode.
Yeah, it's an old.
And I hope people are okay with it.
It's an old favorite. I've got 3 words from old. Old listener of the show. I don't know how old he is in age, but I know he's a listener who is aged with by having listened to our show. And he says, here's 3 additional words to surprise Andy with. Conceal.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Carry.
Wait, I'm not even allowed to guess.
Oh, wait, you want to guess?
Concealed, carry. Whoever Carrie is from Sex and the City. Carrie, is she called Carrie?
Yeah, Carrie Bradshaw, I think.
Concealed Carrie Bradshaw, is that it?
No, it's not.
Oh.
Concealed Carrie Mortgage.
Concealed Carrie Mortgage. Have we talked about this on the podcast before?
Do you think we have?
Have we talked about this?
Have I not?
I don't know.
Have we done this?
I don't know.
Oh, and it's from Tyler Ferrer.
Tyler, thank you so much, Tyler. It is a joy to hear from you.
Yeah.
And these are fantastic words. Concealed carry mortgage. I mean, you like to think that my mortgage, because it is such a burden on me, takes so much life from me, that it could be, it would be beautiful if it could be weaponized in some way. You know, like I don't see why if I can get a gun that shoots bullets at people, I can't somehow, you know, and that takes away their life.
Yeah.
Why can't I also get something that allows me to fire debt, you know, weaponize debt at people and just inflict, you know, I'm sick of only being able to hurt myself with this and I'd love, I mean, to be able to share that with the world.
I mean, just look at the word gauge, like a 12 gauge. And mort, which is the French word for death.
There
it
you go.
It seems like you can shoot death with it.
It And why is the word mort in there? Why is death in the mortgage thing?
Well, that's why I don't have one, Andy. I don't know the answer to that question, and so I don't.
And I don't intend to know. Because you can steal from people, right? You can steal their money.
Yeah.
And you can give to people.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? You can give them money.
Yeah.
But can I give somebody my
debt? Like a pickpocket, but who puts debt into your pocket?
Who puts debt, indeed, exactly. You know, I don't know. I don't quite know the technicalities.
Like a rogue banker?
Okay. Yes, a dark banker.
The dark banker.
Or the night banker. And, you know, because...
The night banker.
There are banks are open such limited hours. You know, they close at, what, like 4 o'clock or something?
Yeah.
And this is what happens at the bank overnight. The night bankers come in. And they, you know, if you go along to a night bank, that's where they just deal with debt and you can... I don't know.
I think that he's like a villain.
This negative
that he's like
money
a villain who can, instead of going and robbing a bank, he can just give you debt. He can give you, and then he gets your money because you have to pay this debt.
Yeah, well, him getting to pay your money is him getting your money. I'm less interested in that because that just sounds too much like straight theft. But I am very interested in you getting his debt, and I think what about this? You know, you go log into your bank account one day, and you've got all this debt. Okay.
Yeah.
You see that you're in heaps negative territory, and you didn't have an overdraft or a credit card or anything, and you contact the bank and you say, what's happened? And they say, I don't know what to say. You know, this debt's just there. It's like if your money's just gone, the debt's just there and we can't do anything about it. And you're like, well, this isn't my debt. We say, well, you know, I have heard about night bankers. This is a thing, but there's no way for us to prove it. So it's just your debt now, and you just have to pay it off. And then you just have this thing forever.
And then you have to kill him.
You have to kill him. That's the only way. Is that a sketch?
I think there's something there.
There's something there. It's so conceptually.
I mean, Andy, with a name tricky. Like the Night Banker, it's so good that there's bound to be something within it.
Mm. Oh, sure.
So much so that I've written it down, and it's probably going to be the title of the episode.
Could you, like, I'm interested in people who break into a bank at night, but not to steal money.
Yeah.
But just to operate the bank.
You sure.
Know? They, and then...
Maybe implement then, you know, new sort of processes that allow it to work more efficiently.
More efficiently, sure. And, you know, other people who want to break in can all make deposits and that sort of thing to these masked men running the tills. And, you know, they refill those little rectangles of paper, the deposit slips.
They're giving to the time poor, those who can't get there during business hours.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Like because you know, you think of things like Pretty Boy Floyd and Jesse James, and these are the bandits who stole from the rich and gave to the poor. But sometimes more than money, what you need is time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can't get to the bank in time, well, what about somebody who will just break in and just run the thing for a couple of hours at night so that you can get in there and get your stuff done.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's in many ways you're giving, you know, a greater gift, the convenience. And
absolutely. And if that person could also on occasion be the night post office worker, that would be great too.
And what is this? This is an entire.
It's a modern day Robin Hood.
Yeah, I mean, did they also steal a little bit for themselves just to cover wages or not?
He took 1789.
He stole, but only the equivalent.
Oh, he took 1780.
He stole, but only the equivalent of a minimum wage, a casual wage, working the hours that he was there.
He took 1789 an hour plus lunch breaks.
But he didn't give himself holiday pay, so.
Yeah. Oh, so he's actually underpaid himself because he didn't do casual loading.
Oh no. And technically, because he broke in on a Saturday night that rolled over to Sunday, that should have been penalty rates.
That's how he gave.
So we'd like to find this man and give him what he's owed. Give him what's coming to him, which is
an extra $3 an hour,
$12.35.
Andy, I think it's good. It's the night banker.
We got somewhere.
I think it's something. Yeah.
The night banker.
I'll take us through these sketch ideas.
Oh God, Alistair, I'm so thrilled.
All right, we got the funeral for the guy's dog chewed penis. It turns out that he's just doing it to find out what people really think about his penis. It's actually his penis.
Correct.
Yeah, it wasn't actually bitten off and the dog was in on it the whole time. The dog just mouthed it. Mm-hmm. Just pressed down on it with his lips. And then there's just this. I think the fact that there's just a sketch about how you teach a horse dressage, I think, you know, a funny misinterpretation of how that would actually happen, because it seems impossible.
Right.
And then we've got inflatable jockey, which is for either dressage or so that Andy has more fun for horse racing.
I want to have more fun.
That's right. And I want you to have fun. Then we've got sausage animals. This is because balloons are actually really bad for oceans and garbage and things like that. But you know what's not bad for oceans and animals is...
Greasy Tim the Sausage Clown.
That's right. The thing that isn't bad for seabirds and stuff is intestines that you fill with sausage meat and make sausage animals out of. It's so great. Kids running around, grease on their faces. They've got these weird sausage meat hats. It's a good idea. Then we've got...
Good idea.
Little meat model of the deceased. Oh, that's nice, you know? Then we got...
Whoopsie-daisies, down he goes.
And then we got startup that brings in cannibalism, makes it okay. And then we got the night banker.
We should look into this. I reckon we could get some Series A funding.
Absolutely. How would we do that? Oh, can you get that from the government and stuff?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think that they're pushing this kind of innovation stuff. They're trying to remove a bit of regulation and
fuck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, the coalition would be all over this shit.
Oh yeah.
They'd love it.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. All right, Andy. We did it. Boom, doom, boom, doom, 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 boom.
Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. God, we appreciate it. You should also check out Magma. The link is in the description down below. You can head along to SOS Presents and watch almost exactly an hour of Alistair and I being our engineering characters, Jerry and Martin. And creating an entirely new society.
That's right.
And I reckon it's all right.
You can also find us on Twitter at Two in Tank, and I'm at Alistair TV.
And I am at Stupid Old Andy.
You can also find us on Instagram. You can also review us if you want. And you can also support us on Patreon if you want. Both at Two in Tank, I think. Anyway.
Or if you don't want.
Do it if you don't want.
And
We
love
you.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.